everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am so excited to have this guest today. I have Ron Speakman of the Fed Up Podcast, and he's here to talk about a topic that I've been avoiding forever because it's just so complicated and so much can go wrong. So let's get right into it. Ron Speakman, welcome to Classes of Male.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I know we've been trying to get this situated for quite some time now. So
yeah, that is true. I was telling my wife, like, I've been trying to have this interview for like a year, and I'm so excited to finally have Ron on. So before we get into actually giving carriers advice about their workplace injuries, tell us a little bit about your podcast and where you're coming from with Fed Up.
Well, Fed Up is for, it's basically a platform for all federal employees who deal with collusion, corruption, basically a broken and unjust system. And we try, it started out as Fed Up just being a voice for the voiceless, get your stories out there, which transformed into much more than that. We're providing resources now. We're building a network, a Fed Up network of resources, if you will. I'll talk about that, I'm sure, a little later. But
for sure,
we're just trying to give a voice to the voiceless, give a ear, give a fight for these people who have been silenced, swept under the rug, because collusion and corruption are real. It's not just our agencies, it's also our unions. Yep. And I hate saying that because the unions aren't the problem. It's the people in those damn positions in those unions that are the freaking problem.
Of course.
And that needs to change. But a lot of us, there's fear, like fear of retaliation. Fear is fear mongering. It's real, right? Even amongst our own local leaders, fear of speaking up against the establishment. So it's not just the rank and file itself. It's also our own leaders. But that's what we try to do. We try to give a voice for the voiceless, shed light on the dark corners, whether it's OWCP, a union issue. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, I'm going to have a huge episode with Tina. Her name is, she's a city letter carrier, retired right now currently. And when you hear her story, you're going to know exactly why Fed Up is here and what they're doing. So
right. And that's, you know, when I started listening to your podcast, it was before I started getting into the weeds at my own branch. And so I would listen and be like, man, there are some really messed up branches out there. Thank God my branch isn't that way. And now, as regular listeners of Classes of May will know, no, my branch is just as corrupt as any other out there. And the issues that you speak about, the retaliation, the fear-mongering, that is alive and well within my branch. And you're exactly right that the union has structures in place that are supposed to prevent these things from happening. You know, we have Article 10, we have Article 11 of the NALC Constitution, but of course the people who are in those positions do everything they can to thwart that process.
Yes, exactly. Yep. It's unfortunate, but it's a broken and unjust system, and there's many. There's not just one. There's many systemic problems within our agency and our own union itself.
Right. So for me, because this is primarily an educational podcast aimed at rank and file carriers, I get questions often from my listeners that, hey, I have this procedural question. How do I handle this? Because your podcast is mainly dedicated to abuse within the Postal Service and within the federal government, do you get people reaching out to you similarly? Like, they want to tell you their story of how they got abused?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I get calls, texts, emails, private messages on Facebook, you know, you name it. And some stories are bigger than others, naturally.
Right.
But every person reaching out needs something, whether it's guidance, a solution, or simply just wanting to be heard. Right.
Right.
You know, hearing that, and I gotta say this, hearing that my podcast or my, even my platform, not just me itself, but the podcast itself has helped someone through a dark day, that I was there for them when no one else was. That's what makes it worthwhile for me.
Right.
You know, I've been called an angel or a godsend, which is quite humbling. But, you know, I honestly just see myself as doing the right thing, helping others when they need it most. But yeah, I get people from all over reaching out, different agencies, different unions. And one thing I can tell you is the amount of, first of all, let me say this, post office is the worst, hands down, with toxic and hostile work environments.
It's fair.
Hands down.
Yep.
And ironically, we're the only ones who are coming out speaking publicly about it. That's how bad it is. These other people I talk to off the podcast, they may not feel comfortable coming and telling their stories publicly, but a lot of them have some similar stories like us. But one thing I recognize is the collusion of corruption that is alive and well across the board. But yeah, we definitely get a lot of people coming on off the podcast to reach out to me, and some of it's easier, some of it's harder than the other things. And
yeah,
sometimes I just gotta point them in the right direction. But regardless, we get them going into the right direction and get them the help that they need to cross the finish line in that race that they're running there.
Yeah, so I want to get into that, because your podcast serves a couple of purposes. One is knowing that you're not alone, that there are other people who are going through the struggle, but also that in many cases, although not all of them, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is an eventual resolution. There is a getting back to work or getting through like the healing process. So tell me about, can you still hear me?
I got you.
Okay, cool. All right, so tell me about your own story. Tell my listeners a little bit about like how you got so interested in specifically injured workers. You were an injured worker at one point, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about that.
Well, I got injured on the job. First off, let me just stop there. When I first came into the Postal Service as a CCA, it took me not even a week to see how much, and again, I come from a background where there was no union, but I came from the criminal justice system. I ran boot camps for violent offenders and adjudicated youth, and quite a couple. It's quite different. But when I came here, I immediately saw that the management was always after the workers and going at the union, and vice versa. The union was always saying "fuck you" to management.
Yeah, right?
And for me, it was a little weird because I'm like, you're supposed to work in unity here to have a functioning unit.
Right. We should have the same goal and the same working together. Yeah.
And it's not efficient. It's not working, but I immediately saw that. And I was like, man, this is before I joined a union. I joined a union because, well, my first time, hey, let's jump in. Right.
Right. Right.
But I wanted to point that out because I thought that was important. I seen the toxic and hostile environment that was present right away. And again, you hear me say it all the time, I'm sure, Alan. It's not just that's the problem. We are part of the problem as much as we are part of the solution, point blank. We throw each other under the bus, and I was just like, man. And I kept hearing this brother, my sister, my family, and I'm like, my own family's not this bad. I said to myself,
it's true.
Dysfunctional.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I started listening to From A to Arbitration, and you know, again, this was before I got really involved in my own union stuff. And I hear Corey talking about, management is all rats. You cannot trust any of them. They are out to screw you every chance they get. And I'm like, wow, man, this is really intense. But then the longer you spend as a steward, you know, it hits home.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. And right. And listen, there's facts to that, but there are rare unicorns out there that are good management. Let's be honest.
They're
a diamond in the rough, but they exist. And if you had one of them in your office, by the way, good for you. Hopefully you don't fuck that up for the rest of everybody in your own office.
Right.
But I wanted to say that because now fast forward to when I got injured on the job. I already seen everything that I saw, knowing everything I did. It sent me for a loop. Because now I'm in the union. Now I do pay union dues, right? Now I'm active. And when I got injured on the job, I had zero help. Zero. Not right. from my union, my local or national union. Not from the Postal Service, you know, not from management. Management didn't know what they do. There's a saying that we always say is that, and that is management's either dumb or playing dumb.
Sure.
Right? But honestly, I think through the years of doing what I do, I don't think it's just that. I also think they're just not educated enough.
Oh, without question.
Yeah. Right. But I had zero help. I went 5 months without pay when I got injured on a job, and I fell. What happened was I was making a delivery, and someone had like paver blocks as steps, and they crumbled out underneath my feet. I caught myself like a running back does, you know.
Sure.
As getting tackled, and I felt jarring in my shoulder. I was like, ooh, that didn't feel too good. I was almost done my route, so I finished it up. I reported the injury. As soon as I did that, retaliation, targeting, because I was injured on a job. And I'm not just talking from management. I'm talking from my own coworkers.
Right.
On the workroom floor. Because naturally you get pissed off because you got to pick up the slack when someone's injured or on vacation, whatever it is. And again, we talk family. That's why I brought that up earlier.
Right, right.
You're supposed to help people when they're down. You're supposed to help them up, not kick them when they're down. That's family, right? Unless I wrong you maliciously with intent, right? Then that's different.
That's one of the things you learn as a steward is, you know, you get carriers get mad at each other for calling out sick, for not carrying their full route. But as a steward, you get to learn people's stories. And in many cases, there are very good reasons. You know, there are things that people are going through that other carriers just have no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's things that you can't see on the outside that right. someone's going through. You know, we talk about mental health, but there's also physical stuff that, like, I have Crohn's disease. You can't see it on the outside.
Right.
But it affects me. People don't see how much I struggle with Crohn's when I'm at work sometimes, not all the time. And I bite the bullet, one, because I want to provide for my family, right? And two, I don't want to let my quote-unquote brothers and sisters down.
Right. So to get back into the injury story, sorry I digressed there a little bit.
No, you're good. Yeah. You're good. So that I got injured. There's no help from the union. I went 5 months without pay. When I tell you, every day I was working 8 hours without getting paid because I was trying to research everything myself, educate myself, do my due diligence, as you always hear me preach.
Right.
And I was doing a great fucking job, but it was a nightmare. And my wife would tell you, I'm a grown ass man. I'm hard to break. And I'm not afraid to say it. It broke me. You know, there's a couple of times I caught to myself, you know, and I'm sitting there and got tears rolling down my face because I'm just like, as a man, you're failing because you can't provide for your family. That's number one, first and foremost. Number two, there's no fucking help. I even reached out to my state attorney general. Obviously, they can't help you. It's federal.
Right.
But I did everything that I could to get answers, to get into the right direction. I called Congress right away myself, got the inquiry going. So I did a lot of that myself, that back leg work, but I shouldn't have had to do that myself. I was alone and I went 5 months without pay before finally I talked to my wife about it, and because that's your support system and I'm lucky to have that. And finally I was like, listen, it's not that I can't do it. My mental health is falling the fuck apart. I need to hire a lawyer. And okay. For me to tap out, if you will, that says something.
Right. So let's get into what was happening with you, because the post office, or the union rather, has OWCP specialists who you'd like to think that you could talk to. Mm-hmm. So what was the issue here that kept you without pay or without coverage for all that time?
I didn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
The union, nationally speaking. So it goes much deeper than that. Initially, there was no one around. There was one guy who was quote unquote an OWCP rep from my union.
Mm-hmm. From your branch?
Yes, from my branch, branch 274. And he was limited on his knowledge, but he was the only one that tried to help me who was there. Right. Now him and I no longer talk for whatever reasons, but I will give him props because he was the only one that was there trying to help me, even though his knowledge at that time was very limited.
Right.
But in saying that, 5 months without pay, I got the lawyer, and you know, I let the lawyer do their thing, and I learned about the five basic elements of a claim. I learned that the one good thing I had with me, with my background before the Postal Service, is I had great report writing skills.
Okay.
So even without being a shop steward, I think it's common sense, but common sense ain't so common anymore. It's documentation. It's everything. So detail report writing helped me in that aspect of logging what happened. I took pictures. I went back to the scene because I know, like, from my background before coming to the Postal Service, that, hey, anything I can use to prove this as I write my own personal statement, which I treat like a medical narrative on its own, but I'm not an MD, right?
Right.
Because you want to paint the picture. You want to paint the causal relationship between the injury and a job. You want to show the performance of duty. You want to show the fact of injury.
So to be clear, so that my listeners understand, was the post office claiming that your injuries were not work-related?
No, they didn't controvert it at all.
Okay.
But that, right out the gate, listen, that would have been, if someone was there to help me initially,
right, great. Right. Okay, but, so we'll finish out this story, and then we'll start talking about what carriers should do and how they can stop this from happening to them. So yeah, let's continue with the attorney.
No, the attorney was great. He helped me with my job. He helped me with the OPM federal disability retirement, which all this that he helped me with, I was still learning, mind you, because that's what you need to do. You need to teach yourself, learn, educate yourself so you can educate others. So that got me through, and I started the podcast because I was pissed off at what was going on and happening to me. And I didn't want anybody else to go through what I went through.
It comes through.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I put a lot into my craft, man. Believe me.
Right.
But that's in essence is what happened. That's how Fed Up was born and started off of my own, hardships, if you will. 5 months ain't shit without pay. As far as I'm concerned, it's still a long time if you don't have a family, but, even if you have a family, it could be hard, but there's people who go way longer than that. We're talking even years. We're talking people taking their own lives. We're talking getting divorced, losing their homes, losing their kids, losing everything before taking their own lives. It happens, and it's real. And it's not just us in the Postal Service. It happens in other agencies. It's just, again, more prevalent in the Postal Service if you're a postal employee. So that's why I started the podcast, and the rest is history. Here we are.
Okay, so let's step back now, and let's imagine that I, as a carrier, I'm out walking my route, and I step off the curb wrong or something like that, and I wind up spraining my ankle. As a carrier, what's going to be step one for me?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. Okay. I have a basic OWCP toolkit through FedUp HQ. I didn't have it posted yet on my website, but it will. All you need to do is fill in your email, and you'll get the free PDF.
Nice.
It's only a basic toolkit. I'm not going to go in depth.
That's fine. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we'll be doing what's called a FedUp 15, which will be no more than the 15 minutes, going through one particular thing. So we can give more clarity, especially to this toolkit. But there's top things to do immediately when injured on a job. Number one is report the injury immediately. ASAP, right now, as soon as you get it hurt, to your supervisor or manager. And while doing that, I need everyone to ask for a signed and filled out CA-16 from management. Now, you don't have to request one by law, but I always say to request one so you can document that you asked for it when you reported the injury. Because again, you want to be proactive.
Right.
After all, CA-16, it provides medical coverage for up to the first 60 days.
So this is a form that you would ask management for, and they're going to give it to you to fill out, or do they fill it out?
So that's for the doctor.
Oh, okay.
The doctor has a part to fill out, but that's in essence, the CA-16 is the, I don't have it in front of me, I think it's the authorization for examination and treatment.
Gotcha. So it kind of gets things started.
It pays the bills. It's there for the first 60 days to pay anything until your claim gets approved.
Gotcha. Okay. So with this reporting, you know, carriers out there are afraid to inform management of their injuries. So talk about that and tell carriers why they should not be.
Do you want me to go continue on what to do when injured on a job? Or you?
Well, I do, but this is something that comes up right in the beginning, because your first piece of advice is you have to call and tell management immediately. And we have to deal with the reality that a carrier is afraid to report their injury to management because they're afraid that they're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, well, you got to cast that fear aside. Listen, at the end of the day, whether it's me or you, Alan, or whoever, it's a union steward or OWCP rep, whoever it is, we all can walk it with you, but we can't walk it for you.
There you go.
You have to advocate yourself. You can't, if you're scared, and I say this all the time respectfully, because I'm very busy and I help a lot of different people. I talk people off the ledge, and I don't mind doing that. But I also tell them the same thing that I'm about to say here to you right now. And that is, listen, if you're not willing to help yourself, respectfully, I can't help you.
Fair.
Because I have a million other people that want my help who do want to take action. And I might be letting somebody slip through the cracks. And what if that one is the one that takes their own lives?
Right.
I don't know about my conscience. Now, I wouldn't know, but I'm just using it as an example.
No, I hear you. Okay. So,
you got to drop, don't be scared. Report it. There's laws in place for you that protect you. And this is where your OWCP rep and the national union, your local union, everyone should have these things. Hell, these code of federal regulations should be even written in alignment with certain things from the ELM, right? Right. Certain things from, you know, the M39, M41, M38, depending on your craft, obviously. Exactly. But they all should be put together and put into agreements to file a grievance. I always tell everybody, file, file, file. That's a documentation trail. EEOs, right. I think they're fucking useless. But guess what? It's a documentation trail.
It is. Yeah, so exactly. There are protections in place that protect injured workers from that retaliation, and there's recourse if it happens. So, So the first thing is report it right away. Get that CA-16 to take to the doctor with you.
Correct.
Okay. And
now,
then
I would say this. Yep. Hold on. When I say report immediately,
yep.
If it's a major injury, then you
call 911 first
and file it as soon as medically possible.
There
because
you go.
On your treatment, your care for your injuries, your health is top priority number one.
Right. So a good example of that would be like heat exhaustion, where you're bordering on heat stroke. You're in no condition to be filling out forms and reporting. You need care immediately. So take care of the care first, and then we'll worry about the forms.
Exactly. Seek medical attention right away if needed when it's an emergency. Don't wait. Don't hesitate.
Okay.
Which, again, that's, you mentioned fear. I think fear is a shared top number one thing that people don't report. The next thing in line with fear is they wait.
Yeah.
They wait to file. They wait to report. They wait to get treatment. They wait. Don't wait, because you might be losing certain benefits if you don't report on time. Right now, you have 3 years to report a CA-1 or a CA-2 from the date of injury. Right?
Do you want to get into what those are right now, or we'll do that later?
It's up to you. I'll let you lead the way.
But okay. Well, so let's just generally, so that people at least have context for what you're talking about. Broad strokes, what's a CA-1 and CA-2?
So that's a great question. And people often, they don't know the difference between a CA-1 or a CA-2. There's OWCP reps out there that know, they don't know the difference between a CA-1 or a CA-2 completely. So a CA-1, listen, the easy answer is to remember this. A CA-1 is for any injuries occurring during a single work shift. One, hence CA-1.
Right, like the sprained ankle, for example.
Sprained ankle, it could be a dog bite, a car accident, heat exhaustion, as you just mentioned, slip, trips, or falls. You get hit with a piece of equipment on the workroom floor, one work shift, right?
Right.
And again, the easy thing is, remember, when you file a claim, how do I know what to file? If it happened during a single work incident, it's a traumatic injury, as you said to me off air before,
acute, yep.
And a CA-1 is that's the federal employee's notice of traumatic injury and claim for continuation of pay and compensation. The word traumatic is in the CA-1.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
So, but it's also defined, here's the code of federal regulations that I like, and I know I might lose people or bore
No,
people,
that's what this podcast is about. Please do.
The code of federal regulations defines a CA-1, and that's under 20 CFR 10.5EE. It defines it as a wound or other condition of the body caused by external force, including stress or strain. The injury must be identifiable as to the time and place of occurrence and member or function of the body affected. It must be caused by a specific event or incident or series of events or incidents during a single day or work shift.
Okay.
Again, we mentioned the examples, right? Slip, trip, or fall, heat exhaustion, all that. You have 3 years from the date of injury to file that claim. Now here is important information to know. You're eligible for a CA-16, that CA-16 that I mentioned earlier that pays for your medical bills, as long as the injury is reported within 7 days from the date of the injury occurring. That's why we tell you file immediately, because if you file on the 8th day, guess what? You're ass out. You're not getting that CA-16 by law. You're not entitled to that no more.
Right.
Also, continuation of pay is payable for a traumatic injury as long as the claim for COP is filed within 30 days of the date of injury on that CA-1 form. Again, okay. That's why we say file immediately. But also, you need medical evidence supporting your disability, right? That has to be given to the employing agency within 10 days to be eligible for COP. So again, all you need to know is file immediately.
Right.
This way you don't forego any of these benefits, such as a CA-16 or a COP or COP for your CA-1. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. Yeah, so for that one-time injury, you're going to get the CA-16 right away, take that to the medical professional, and you're going to fill out the CA-1 as a one-time, something that happened within one shift. So what about the CA-2? What is that?
CA-2, that's a notice of occupational disease and claim for compensation, right? Or as you said off air to me, chronic.
Right.
So again, the easy answer to remembering what a CA-2 is, any injuries occurring over two or more work shifts, right? In CA-2. Now that's defined by the Code of Federal Regulations, and that's 20 CFR 10.5Q as a condition produced by the work environment over a period longer than a single work day or shift. I give you the CFRs so—
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the way we do things on Classes of Mail. Yes.
Right. And some examples for CA-2 would be like arthritis, repetitive use injuries such as carpal tunnel, plantar fasciitis, or any aggravation or acceleration of a pre-existing condition, believe it or not, such as, degenerative disc disease, right? Mm. Now, again, you have 3 years. Here's where it's a little bit different. You had 3 years from the date of the last exposure or the date you became aware of the medical condition and causal relationship, whichever is later of the two, that's when that 3 year mark starts. Right?
Cool. Okay. Now, so go ahead.
Hold on. Alan, these two things here, unlike the CA-1 where you do get these things, the CA-2, you are not eligible for a CA-16. And continuation of pay is not payable for an occupational disease.
Okay. So you're basically just trying to get treatment with the CA-2, right? Or no, because the CA-16 authorizes treatment. Well, let's get into chronic or ongoing CA-2 type stuff a little bit later. Let's get back now to the CA-1. The carrier gets injured on the job. So we'll go with the sprained ankle. They've called their supervisor, and now they're going to go to the quick care to get that ankle treated.
Well, I will say this. Do not stay away. You're better off going to an emergency room than you are in urgent care. Stay away from urgent cares.
Okay, why?
Because there's no really, when it comes down to your medical narrative report writing, you're not going to have that MD prior right there to sign off on that stuff right away, if not at all.
Okay.
So you're going to, that's pretty much an automatic denial when you're looking at OWCP. You need an MD signature on those narrative reports. They have a lot of PAs, they have a lot of PC, physician assistants.
Right. Nurse practitioners, that kind of stuff.
Nurse practitioners. Yeah. So,
right. So when management wants you to go to Concentra, or you say, no, I'm going to the hospital. No,
because look, I will say this. The majority, right? You gotta think of it like this. Concentra is contracted through the Postal Service.
Right.
They're going to have more times than not their best interest than your best interest. And I've seen it happen time and time again. That's why I tell people, you don't have to go there. Management tells you to go there. Nuh-uh. Fuck all that. You don't have to go there. In fact, by law, it says it is your right to choose your treating physician that you want to. By law, that is your choice. So if they tell you, you got to go here, tell them to stick it where the sun don't shine, baby.
There you go.
You go where you want to go, where you feel comfortable, go. Even in ERs, it'll be tricky. Your family physician will be tricky. This is why we, this is why I tell people to educate and do your due diligence, do your research, because there's certain things that you need to know outside of basic stuff. There's certain things that you can take common sense and apply it with the knowledge that you learn and be proactive to wherever you're going. Because some places you may be forced to go to an ER or whatever the case is, because that's the closest medical facility in your area. It might be in somewhere rural, right? Or sometimes it's Concentra, excuse me. Concentra may be the only place for you to go. So I'm not saying don't go there. I'm saying it's your right to choose where you want to go. Right. By law, that's your choice. But if you do go to Concentra, there's certain things. Like I would have that CA-16 in hand, right? Like I said earlier, when you report that injury, oh, you want me to go here? Perfect. I need that CA-16 signed and filled out by you so I can take this to them and have my medical stuff billed for me.
If you're in like rural Idaho, you might have to go to a veterinarian to get your care. Or if you're in Louisiana, you might have to go to a witch doctor, a voodoo priestess.
I'm down for anything
as long as they can fill out that CA-16. Right, that's the important thing. Okay, so the carrier.
Can I say one more thing, Alan?
Please.
Regarding the CA-16, I know you got a lot of you guys already noticed. Management will play dumb or pretend that they don't know what a CA-16 is. So I want to give you something else per code of federal regulations.
Excellent.
20 CFR 10.300B. states that the employer shall, hence that word, shall.
Right, not may.
Shall issue form CA-16 within 4 hours of the claimed injury. If the employer gives verbal authorization for such care, which they can, then he or she, Mr. or Mrs. Supervisor here, should issue the form CA-16 within 48 hours. But it says shall issue. And there's other things I'm not going to get into here, but there's on e-comp, there's even things on their instructions for supervisors. And it specifically even talks about a CA-16 on there on the e-comp portal. So that, again, they can play dumb all they want. We have to know our rights and speak up and know how to use these, talk to the stewards, your OWCP rep, your president. Mm. It all starts locally. We need to be educated now. So you got to educate your people who have a higher position than you. That's a good thing, because now you're all getting on the same page, but make sure you all are on that same page, because I just gave you a crucial CFR right there that can be tied into grievances if they did not give you a CA-16. And actually, you can actually, I like doing this. Some people do it, some people don't. You can write or call. I say write because the way the federal government is in disarray right now with the Trump administration right now. But you can put onto your file, on your case file there, in your case imaging, when you can see it, upload a letter that says exactly that, CA-16. Mm-hmm. I asked for it on this date at this time. I was denied. It went past the 4 hours. They didn't give it to me, and it went past 48 hours, and I'm stuck here having to pay the bills. Ultimately, when your case is approved anyway, you can go back and get things paid for if you had to pay for something out of pocket. If you go to somewhere good, they're not going to charge you anything out of pocket to begin with.
Because so they know the score with workers' comp.
Right. And in some toolkit, I actually have a section there, how to vet your OWCP provider to make sure they're credible, make sure they're good. I give you a step-by-step question, some tips. just to kind of help you make sure you're going somewhere good. Now, that doesn't take into account to actually go into the facility, right? There's other things that you can't see unless you go there, like how they treat their patients, how clean the facility is, how the customer service is. Nothing beats going in person, but I can give you the tools necessary to vet them over the phone that, hey, then you take the next step and go see the facility. Chances are, listen to your gut, right? If it don't feel right, it ain't right.
Sure.
But this toolkit that I have will help people. That's all I wanted to say on that.
Okay, so for the next step of this injury, so now I've sprained my ankle, I go to the doctor, I get my CA-16, and I get treated. Well, now I'm going to be out of work for, let's just say, 2 weeks. Am I going to be using my own sick leave during that 2 weeks?
So you shouldn't.
Okay.
But what management is crucial for doing, even when you have an approved injury, is they put that time in for you to utilize your sick, your AL. They make you soak it all up. Mm. Why? I think it's because they can start the AWOL process ASAP. And again, follow me here, right?
Yeah, you know those motherfuckers. Like. Yeah.
Yes. There's so many laws in the place. This is why I have conversations with people in Congress and people in Senate. I was just on the phone with Senator Grassley's people the other day with the carrier. I'm not going to get to that. I try to do this stuff because this is much bigger than us. But we have to play our part. But they'll utilize all that time for you. So let me pull this down here. Oh, I just ripped the shit out of it. We'll make sure I quote this right because it's been a minute. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they'll put you in as eventually when you use all that time and they use that for you, then what they do is they put you in LWAP. Sometimes they won't even put you into using your own time. They'll make you use LWAP. Now, if a good district manager or PUM is in there, they'll be like, hey, what's going on? And they'll force you to use that anyway. But regardless if they use it up front or later on, they code you as 060, which is LWAP for a full day. Even though you're out on OWCP from a work injury, on the job work injury. Now, what they should be tying you in with is 049, LWAP OWCP. Right. Okay. That's one thing. But here's another thing. You can use your time. If you're out for 2 weeks, maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of an injury. Maybe you might want to use that time. Why? Because when you're out on OWCP and you're filling out your CA7s, which is your claim for compensation, you're only paid 66 2/3 of your pay. If you have no dependents, if you had dependents, it's 75% of your pay. Currently, the Trump administration is actually trying to change that across the board, every single agency as 66 2/3 pay, regardless if you had dependents or not.
Shocking.
That's one of the things that the Trump administration is actually working on doing. And actually, the first time when he was in office, that was part of his plan. And it didn't end up happening. So he's picking up where he left off. And I'm telling you, that's one of his things that he will be doing. So you might want to use your time if it's a 2 week thing.
Right. So that you get paid in full instead of getting paid in 2/3.
Maybe that's it. Right. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
But you got to stay on top of those things, man, but they'll definitely try to do that. And their MO is the people who are out longer on their injuries. They'll basically AWOL them. They'll give them a letter of removal, stuff. They'll skip the 7, the 14.
With an on the job injury.
An on-the-job injury. There's plenty of people. I think it was episode 12 and 13, Adric Montaigne.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got some big money coming. They fucked up, and I'm glad to see him. He's one of those, a perfect shining example of, we talked a lot, but ultimately he did everything himself. Right.
Wow.
Just here for guidance or support. It's great to see him on a winning side. And there's people who quote unquote retired. When I say air quotes retired, maybe they were asked to leave. A manager who's notorious in the Tennessee area, Michelle Edmondson, in HR, who just screws everybody. And that's a shining example. They don't care about the law. They don't care about any of this shit. Department of Justice is supposed to enforce these code of federal regulations, right? Where are they? They point the finger at Congress. Congress, meanwhile, points the finger back at them. Both of them are saying they don't have enough manpower or the resources to enforce these laws. Management knows that they can get away with all this. The agency knows they can get away with all this. And they have been for years, and it's getting worse, worse, and worse every single year. I'm sure we'll get into later on as far as how we can change that and change the culture. But, I lost my track of thought there. I apologize.
That's okay. We were talking about getting paid for your time when you're out, and you're saying management will do LWAP, and sometimes, you're just stuck, and you have to fight. I mean, all of this is a fight, and which is why you say, like, I had a full-time job even when I wasn't working, because you had to take up this fight.
Right.
You for an on-the-job injury. Okay, so hopefully your injury is minor. You're back at work in maybe a few days, and things can go on from there. Now, this injury is now on record, so maybe somewhere down the road it turns into a CA2, winds up being something more chronic like what happened with your shoulder. So let's talk – well, I guess that would still be a CA – well, I don't want to get into the weeds on that. Let's now talk about CA2, the more chronic injuries, the occupational disease, and how we go about addressing that as a carrier.
Well, again, it's going to be the same thing, right? We went over CA1 and CA2s earlier. You got 3 years to report the injury.
Right.
And now that I'm looking back on it, I probably could have got my hernias approved. I have 3 hernia surgeries back to back to back.
One week.
But I probably could have got that for repetitive strain with all the things
we talk
about repetitive. How many thousands of times a day we do simple grasping, bending, stooping, climbing, reaching, turning, holding, carrying, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those fine movements. That's why, you know, when we talk about simple grasping, that's imagine casing your mail, holding the mail, fingering your mail thousands of times per day. Eventually, if hopefully you're lucky and it doesn't happen to you, but more times than not, there's going to be some arthritis in our future.
Right, absolutely. Or say carpal tunnel or, you know, like, so now I recently turned 50 and my hip has started bothering me. So presumably, I mean, I walk, you know, 10 miles a day, 12 miles a day. This presumably is work related. So what do I need to start doing to think about, you know, getting that covered by OWCP?
File the form.
Okay. Well, that's pretty straightforward. And that would be the CA2.
The CA2 when it's two or more work shifts in this case. Yes. Okay. And there's a reason why I go over the five basic elements in my toolkit.
Do you want to briefly cover those? Or if we can't briefly cover them, then don't worry about it.
I'll say this briefly. Yep. The five basic elements to get a claim accepted is has to be timely filed. That's why we say report right away. You have to be a civil employee, which, hey, we already are on duty. The fact of injury. Now, there's two parts to proving the fact of injury. There's a factual part and a medical part. Factual, that would be our employee statement. Make sure it's very detailed, and I'll get into some other things as well there. But and the medical portion of that, of the fact of injury to prove, is this is where the qualified physician must establish a medical condition diagnosed in connection with that accident, incident.
Right, the causal relationship.
Right. And this is where diagnosis should include an ICD-10 code, naturally. So they should focus on the disability that was caused by pain and correlate it with the accepted conditions and the objective findings. And that's where that detailed medical NADRF report that comes into play. And I've helped people write numerous ones of these. And there has to be certain language. Mm. OWCP recognizes certain language. And it's irrefutable if you have a lot of this language in there. But what I need people to remember is if you go to a doctor and in that report or in the doctor's notes after, you know, your after treatment visit notes, if it says in there about pain as a symptom, you're going to be in automatic denial. Pain is not a diagnosis. I'm sorry. Pain is not a diagnosis. It is a symptom. So when you see pain as a diagnosis rather than a symptom, or vice versa, I should say, keep that in mind. Pain is the diagnosis. Or it's not a diagnosis. I'm sorry. I'm tripping up on my words. Pain is not a diagnosis. It is a symptom. I pulled an all-nighter. I apologize.
That's all right. No worries, man. Dude, what you're giving us is way better than anything. I mean, this is so valuable to my listeners. So in my own case, now let's say,
Go ahead. The other thing was performance of duty.
Okay.
That was the first thing. You need that to establish the claimed injury occurred in the performance of duty. There's four things that you got to establish, like in the course of employment, arising out of the employment, factors to consider, such as, I mean, there's all these different things. And there are certain factors that will not be covered, such as willful misconduct, obviously, right? Drug or alcohol intoxication. Or the intent to bring about injury or death to self or another coworker or another employee. Those are some factors that won't be covered. Everyone put that out there. Not that I'm saying, and hopefully people aren't going to be going out there drinking on the job.
Right. Getting in fights, stuff like that. Yeah. Just I got know you. That,
hey, if you're caught, hey, you ain't going to get your shit accepted.
Right. Okay. So
the fifth thing.
Oh,
here,
yes.
For the basic elements of a claim to get accepted. And this is the number one reason why claims come back denied, and that is the causal relationship, and that is the link between a work-related exposure or injury and the medical condition found on examination. So it's based entirely on medical evidence, right? Hence the MD has to do it, provided by the physicians who have examined and treated you as the employee. I'm not going to get into that more in depth, but I wanted to just give you that and let you know that's the number one related incident.
Right.
That's why language is everything, just like in a grievance. Same thing with the medical NADRF report. And causal relationship is the number one reason why claims come back denied. There's not enough evidence in there. The medical narrative is not sufficient enough. It doesn't have the key language in there.
Right. Yeah. So I say that my carpal tunnel came from casing mail, but the post office says, well, we've been looking at your browser history and we think carpal tunnel might have come from something else.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them,
right?
You know, to say some dumb shit like that,
right.
Some eye opener, jaw dropping, when they come to their claims. But But that's why we educate ourselves. They can. Here's what I always say. Where the fuck is your MD? Where's your degree at?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So they like to play doctor just as much as they like to play dumb. But remember, it's your body, number one.
Right.
You're not a doctor either, but it's up to us when we go to the doctor. It's good to get this education and knowledge of that language so we can communicate that to them so they have a better idea. Because remember, they don't know what the fuck we do for a job or what it details.
Right.
Rigorously. Yeah, there's professional athletes who won't even do our fucking jobs. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get hurt every single day on the job as well, I believe. Every single day there's injuries occurring. But whether it's a rolled ankle on a curb or a finger getting caught in the door or on that hook, you know, we banged our hip on getting out of the truck because we, you know, we're getting out in and out of the seat too damn quick from our LLV. Whatever it is, man, it's taking me back. whatever it is, man, just it's your body, but also know what your job details. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, inside by our cases, inside our drawer, it should have a copy of the letter carrier job and responsibilities and duties, right?
Yeah, the M41 is in there. And there's also some kind of list that you can get from the post office that says like all the things the job entails, that lifting this and being able to bend and stoop and walk and all that stuff is all in a list. Yep. Absolutely.
And here's another thing that I forgot to mention. Mm-hmm. When you get hurt on a job, I mentioned about reporting it immediately, getting the CA-16. As soon as you can, right? Because again, minor injuries, major injuries, it's all going to depend on your circumstances and situation. When it's time, you need to get that CA-17, which is a duty status report. This is where it comes into help. Like a duty status report is basically restrictions.
Okay.
So on the left side, your supervisor, postmaster, whoever it is in management, has to fill out that left side. And on that, it states how much you carry per day or lift, how much you walk, do you drive, how much time you drive. It's a list of things, and it goes through. They have to put their 1 to 2 hours, 4 to 5 hours, whatever
on
those blocks. Then when you take that to the doctor, your treating physician, whether it's your initial evaluation or examination or a re-evaluation, they fill out the right side of that, and they go off of what they put on there, so they have a guideline. You can use that as your duties and responsibilities, but I like to go a step further. Now, on the CA-17, it does say like simple grasping and bending, twisting, climbing, all that stuff I just mentioned earlier. Right. So that's good. So that's a good thing to use as well when you talk to your doctor. But I still like to paint the picture even more, and I show them what I'm doing. I'm reaching up. If my right shoulder is injured, like it was, I'm using my left arm to show them this is what I do, is just to paint that picture even more.
The better the doctor understands, the better the doctor's medical narrative is going to be.
Exactly. Now, I will say this about the CA-17, so pay attention, y'all. And I've told carriers to do this, and it's not that it does anything, but it kind of puts management on notice a little bit. And a lot of times, first off, when you get a CA-17, if you're lucky enough to get that CA-17 filled out in a timely manner, before you take it into your appointment, make 10 copies, minimum 10 copies. This way you have that left side filled out already, and you don't have to go back every single time to get it filled out, because management, they'll sit on those damn forms.
Absolutely.
Single thing for you.
And those duties don't change from one appointment to the next. And so, yeah, there's no reason to keep going back to management for it.
Yeah. But I mean, every reevaluation, you need a CA-17.
Mm-hmm.
Management likes to ask, hey, they'll bother you almost every 30 days in most cases. Like, hey, I need an updated CA-17. 30 days. Yeah. In which case, if they do that to you, this is real simple. I don't have a follow-up appointment as of yet. Or if you have one, you tell them that date for your reevaluation date.
Right.
And if they still give you an issue, you give them the past one, the most recent one you gave them, because nothing has changed. Here you go. Nothing's changed.
Right.
You already have a copy of it, but I'm giving it to you again. And here's the date I'm being seen again. So, but now in a case where they don't want to give it to you, I love sharing this. We call that the black Sharpie.
Oh yeah. I've heard of this. Yeah. Please tell it. Yeah.
So it's a way of basically saying fuck you to management. They want a game play. Right. We're going to play right back. And, you know, the people that and that have done this, and even I have done this, there has been no pushback. There's no legal ramifications. Like right. certain union leaders will tell you, certain OWCP people, well, you're defrauding, what do you say? A federal form. No, right, I'm not. Right. I'm putting on the facts on there that, and I'm submitting this because they didn't do this, but take the black Sharpie, print out your own CA-17 online to take to the doctor right on that side. And I would wait till the doctor fills out his part. It doesn't matter. You don't have to. Mm. If you want to show like, hey, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and if it makes you feel good, do it before. But take that black Sharpie and just say, management refused to fill out in black Sharpie. When you upload that to eComp with the other side filled out from your doctor, this will kind of put them on blast. Now, it has triggered Department of Labor, no WCP, reaching out to management in your district. And
that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it prompts like, what the fuck did I just do? It's game playing, yes, but in a way, you're putting them on notice. So I always,
what else are you supposed to do?
You can't do anything else. You need the CA-17. They're asking you for it. You need it by your right. OWCP needs the damn shit, and they're not doing anything. So sometimes you gotta, and this goes back to saying what you're saying, Alan. Mm-hmm. People are scared, or they have this fear. And what did I say? You gotta be willing to help yourself. This is another one of those cases where, hey, you got to stand up and get shit done when they're not doing it for you. In this case, I like when this happens because I get excited, man. It gets me a fucking hard on when I hear this.
Yeah, fuck now yeah. It's time to take it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so to get back to, I have this sore hip. You know, maybe I feel like I'm going to need a hip replacement at some point, whatever it is. So I go to management and I say, hey, I need a CA2. And what do I also need a CA-16 so that I can take those to my doctor to get it looked at or what?
You're not going to ask for any CA-1 or CA-2 from them.
Okay.
OWCP, Department of Labor. And this is one of those top things that you should not do. And I have
good
a top,
to know. Yes.
Yeah. I have a top 10 do not list. See, that's on my OWCP basic toolkit here. But also what you got to keep in mind is Department of Labor, OWCP, does not accept any paper forms. Everything is on eComp. That's why they started eComp. Mm. It was a way to take the control away from management because they were sitting on forms purposely.
Right.
Rather than hold them accountable, they created eComp, which, you know, nothing against. I like eComp. Good for the, hey, that's good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it gives us the power back, but we fill out the CA1 or CA2 online on eComp. www.ecomp.dol.gov, and you fill out your appropriate form that fits your situation and your injury. And then what happens is it triggers an email sent to that manager.
Okay. Gotcha.
Don't ever ask a CA1 or CA2 from them because what happens is they may give you one and now you're under the impression of, okay, they gave me one. We're filling it out here. They in return will.
Like I'm going to give it back to my supervisor and they'll file it. But obviously, that's not going to happen.
No, yeah. Don't do that.
Right.
There's some people out there that do that.
Right.
But you gotta remember, that leads me to one of my do not list, and that is do not use a work computer, a supervisor's computer to file your claim on eComp. Don't do that.
Okay. Why?
Because they have access to your shit. That's why.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
They can go in there and check shit out. Now, if you change your password right away, I still say don't do it, but if you're going to do that, then fuck it. Wait till you do it on your own personal device, your computer, your smartphone, whatever it is.
Yeah.
This is your OWCP rep. All local unions out there, and this is just my opinion, if you have an OWCP rep or better, you have an actual full-time OWCP person on the board, right? They're getting paid through your local. Some actually have that, which I think is awesome.
Right.
They have the smart computer. Have them help you fill that out. An OWCP rep, if you don't have a full-time position, but rather an OWCP rep who's also a carrier, make sure that they have a smart device like a laptop or a iPad, whatever it is, so that they can do it for you. Well, do it with you, I should say. You're the one that's going to be filling it out because this puts the power and control back in your hands. You don't have to worry about unwanted obstacles and hardships caused by management just from filing on their own computer, on a work computer, on e-com. So don't do that, right?
Yep.
Back to you, what you said. So you're not going to ask for any CA1 or CA2, but yeah, when you report the injury, you're going to ask for that CA16. Okay. And remind, you know, if you want to, in a good, in a positive way or a negative way, you know, if you're Speakman, you're going to do it the fed up way. you know, you shall give this to me within 4 hours. It's 20 CFR, you know, give them the TFR that I gave you earlier.
Right.
And say, you have 4 hours to give this to me, or I don't even mention the 48 hour verbal authorization.
Right.
I want it 4 hours. I want this right away, but see if they give it to you, ask nicely. And if they don't, if they wait a little bit or don't respond, then remind them of that code of federal regulations. Chances are they still won't give a shit. But again, that's something that you can document on your own on the side. Now, right. When you talk to your shop store, whoever it is, you have that documented.
Right. Right.
So,
all right, Ron. So we're coming up on an hour here, and we're only scratching the surface of all of these regulations, all of the pitfalls, all of the things to worry about. So if folks want more information, you've mentioned this toolkit a few times. I know you said it's not up on the website yet. Where should people go to get more information? Where can they go to learn from you? You know, plug whatever you want to plug.
Before I can,
of course,
can I think about things to do immediately?
Yeah, please.
I think are overlooked.
Yes.
And again, you gotta weigh your situation out. Every situation is different, but if you can, and I know adrenaline's going, if we get hurt on the job, and we're not in our right mind, some of us, and that's okay. That's your adrenaline's going. It's all right. It happens. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be okay. Be calm, cool, and collect. Always. This way, hopefully you can pay attention to what I'm going to say here next, which is take pictures of the scene where you got injured. Obviously when it's not an emergency situation, even if it is in a major accident or emergency situation, have that calm, cool, and collectedness to allow you to take those pictures.
Right.
Right. Cause those pictures can be uploaded to e-comp with your employee statement. Right. However, you got to make sure they're in acceptable format, and that is grayscale, not in color.
Oh, good to know.
Cause color will come up all black. They won't see anything when you upload it. So it has to be in grayscale.
Okay.
When you upload that. Now,
right. On your phone, your photo editor can turn it to grayscale, no problem. Yep.
Even PDF, I believe, can do it, right?
Oh, there you go.
Whatever you use, but whatever caused the injury, take pictures of the scene of anything that can pretty much prove beyond a reasonable doubt and medical certainty for your doctor that it was the exact thing that caused you to suffer that on-the-job injury. You could even record a video of the scene for you to look back on when you write your employee statement to make it that much more detailed. You know, for instance, did the steps crumble beneath your feet? Like I did for me, take pictures like I did.
Right.
Was there a big hole in the ground? Take pictures. Did a dog bust through the door or fence to attack you? Take pictures. Mm-hmm. Was the sidewalk uneven? Take pictures.
Yeah.
Car accident, animal, bug bite. What are we going to do, Alan?
Take pictures.
There it is. Point blank, take the pictures. And that leads me to witness statements. Oftentimes we won't get a witness statement, but there's some lucky ones out there who do get a witness statement. But if no one's around, you know, you're looking for someone to provide that witness statement for you who witnessed the injury occur. If you can't find them, look for any doorbell cameras around, those sky cams.
Yeah, good call.
Knock on that neighbor's door. Ask them if you can have that footage or still picture, whatever it is,
right,
to show the injury. Now, you might not, like in my case, right? You might not want to knock on that door where you suffered the injury because obviously they're not going to give you shit.
Right, right. They're worried about getting sued.
Across the street, right?
Yeah.
But the neighbor across the street might.
Right.
Maybe the neighbor across the street, and you should know your customers well. Maybe they don't like the person where you got injured. Oh, yeah, I'll be sure to help you out. Not to help you out to be a nice guy, but to help you out to say fuck you to that neighbor.
Right, right. So, yeah, I had that happen where the neighbor helped me out to say fuck you to their own landlord. They're like, yeah, you can come in our backyard and take pictures. That was awesome. All right. Yeah, that's good advice.
And also, and I know this goes against what I say all the time, because I fight against the collusion, the corruption, and I call out every injustice that happens to us. But I'm still going to say it anyway because it's following protocol and it's good for documentation purposes. Contact your local or national union shop store or OWCP rep and let them know what happened and continually update them on what's going on. Because again, if they don't do anything, you're documenting that on that backside of things.
Right.
So you have all this, since you have to file, you know, an NLRB charge for, you know, whatever the case is, or take it to the NBA's next and say, hey, my local union's not helping me. This is what's going on. And
right.
hopefully your NBA will do the right thing. Unlike you, what you hear on August 30th with Tina, where they fucked her completely. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. And as far as, I don't think I have anything else that's worth, I mean, everything's.
Yeah, yeah. I do have like 1 million more questions. But we got to draw the line somewhere. So
you got now, it, brother.
So give the plugs. Tell people where to go, where to get this help, where to get, you know, what you're doing.
Well, you can actually go to www.fedupHQ.com. Mm-hmm. That's my website. Just keep looking out for it. It's in the works. I have a lot of sponsorships coming in. I'm doing a lot of vetting and on different. I call it the three-legged monster. Right, we got the legal side of it. We got the mental side of it, and then we have our physical injury side. I am.
My wife calls me the three-legged monster.
I wonder why.
No, that's not true at all.
Oh boy! Well, keep it in the stick,
man. Yeah.
But no, the I'm vetting and building a network of resources for us to use when we are faced with this. Because again, we're not alone,
right?
And I need to build something to make sure that helps us further it when our union and agency, all the chips are stacked against us, and that's what FedUp does, right? Mm-hmm. But you can go to there, check out the podcast, listen to some older episodes if you want to. I've been quiet for quite some time, but again, when you're working on building a network and you're working on this big story that has taken me 3 to 4 years in the making, I put it to you like this. I have a script for this one, but I also, you know, I ad lib as well off my script, but being that there's a lot of information, a lot of characters, I had to stick more to the script and ad lib less, but there's 73 pages so far.
Oh my God.
And it paints the picture. It paints the narrative.
Right.
From her police department to her DA, to the union, nationally and locally speaking, the agency, the postal service in this case, the customer with the gun incident twice on her route.
Oh my God.
Congress, Senator Grassley, who's supposedly the godfather of whistleblower protection, but I'll let Tina take it from there and tell her that aspect of it. Mm. But listen, check out the website. Again, www.fedupHQ.com. Check out the podcast, and more importantly, like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever it is, get it out there. Cause the more of us come forward and share our stories, the more pressure we can apply to politicians, the more we can put these corrupt, individuals who are colluding or doing unethical or even illegal acts, the wrongful misconduct, the neglect, the total disregard for us, the more we can put them on notice and expose them, for what's going on. Because honestly, FedUp isn't just a podcast, man. It's a movement, right? It's a lifeline.
Yeah.
It's a network of resources that gives you guys the tools to fight back. You know, I mentioned the three-legged monster. We have Shapiro right. Federal for legal power, legal representation. We working with another sponsor, One Fed Injury Clinics for medical care. They have offices right. across the country. We have injured worker counseling centers for our mental health support, right? There's that trifecta. And we're growing it every single day here. The system, it's pretty much failed us, you know, management, unions, right. politicians, all of them. That's why FedUp exists, to rip the truth out into the light, to give the voiceless their voice back, to make sure that no federal worker has to face the system alone again. You know, silence in the face of wrongdoing, point blank, it's complicity. And that silence ends here. You know, come forward, share your story. Like again, August 30th, Tina will be on FedUp. Every time one of us steps up, it chips away at that culture of fear that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
And they count on us to keep us divided. So, I mean, I'll end with this, man. United we stand, but divided we fall. But alone, we are just fingers, right? We're just individual fingers on a hand, scattered, breakable. But together, clenched into a fist, that's unstoppable, right? And that's what I want to help build. And I'm tired of seeing... We're so much more divided than we are united still. We preach solidarity. We preach it like a motherfucker, but I hate to be the bearer of bad news. We're far from being, having that solidarity that we say that we have. We had the right people campaigning for positions in our national union. Great. We have certain people leading other movements within this union and in the rank and file. Great. But that is not the majority. Fed Up is about structure, discipline, and accountability, and, you know, putting fear on notice that we talked about earlier. The system had its way with us long enough, and now it's our turn to fight back. But we can only do that if we stand up, speak up, and show out. So, but I'll leave you with that, man.
That's beautiful, Ron. And thank you so much for coming on. Because there's so much more to talk about, I'd love to get you on again at some point. Hopefully it takes less than a year to get you on the next time.
I apologize, brother. You're
doing important work, man. This is just chit-chat. So I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. I know how valuable and how important it is. And thank you again for coming on, man. And listeners, please check out the Fed Up podcast and check out Ron's website. There is incredible, important, inspiring information out there. And thanks again for coming on, Ron. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a blast. And hopefully, like you said, not a year again to come back on.
There we go. All right. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Classes in Mail. I will catch you all next time.